Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Elijah the prophet came to a cave on Mount Sinai and stayed there. As he stayed upon the mountain, behold, the Lord passed by. Suddenly, a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a ferocious fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love that story because it talks about prayer in a way that most people aren't used to. It talks about prayer as being not so much the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. People, I think, in prayer, they're looking for a visitation by an angel or some type of a saint coming to them or some type of a visible manifestation. And oftentimes what we get is the silence, the tiny whisper, and you have to be comfortable with that. I want to talk with you about prayer, and oftentimes I pray the Psalms in the morning. This is called the Liturgy of the Hours. We priests do that, and many lay people do it too. And Psalm 42, for example, is this beautiful prayer, and it says, "As the deer longs for running streams, so my soul longs for you, O Lord." And many of the words are pants and pines and thirsts. And so I want you to get in touch with your yearning and your hunger and your thirst and your desire and your craving for God. See, I really believe that desire within us is the beginning of prayer, that passion. See, I think a lot of people have the passion, they just don't follow through with it. And I want you to know that your passion for God will lead you into depths and into intimacy with God. If you ever read the Catholic Catechism, there's a very beautiful verse that I found recently that I just love. It says that prayer is God's thirst for us and our thirst for God. Think about that. It's the intersection of God's thirst for us and our thirst for God. That's what prayer is. And it's something very, very beautiful. So get in touch with your passion for God. Get in touch with your prayer. Get in touch with your thirst for God. It's there. You just got to let it come out. So I want to talk about prayer, but perhaps in a way that you've never heard before. Most of the time, you know, we pray with words, but I want to go beyond words here. I want to go to the heart. And remember, prayer isn't all about a manifestation of an angel or seeing the light or things like that. Now, these things can happen. You can be illumined in prayer in a real powerful way, and angels might appear to you. That does happen. But most of the time, as we heard in 1 Kings chapter 19, that's the reading I gave you, God comes to us in a still, small voice. And I want you to hear that voice every day, because I really believe, and I know this from my own experience, that God speaks to people, he speaks to me every day. We just have to have the ears to hear. Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism, said, "Listen with the ears of your heart." Oh, what a beautiful statement. Your heart has ears, and it can hear. You just need to know, and you need to attune your heart to the voice of God. I have a friend who is ADD. If you know what ADD is, that's called attention deficit disorder. And that's this disorder where you lose concentration, you lose focus. For example, I'll be out to dinner with him, and you know, he's looking at his watch and he's kind of shuffling around, and I'm telling him about this story and he's not even hearing me because he loses his concentration, loses focus. He doesn't really pay attention. Sounds like people at Mass sometimes. Well, anyway, I found out that some 5 to 10% of the population, at least according to a survey, says that not only children, but adults are ADD, and I think it's way over that. I don't even think they have statistics to measure people or have some type of a device to measure how many people are ADD. And from, I would say, maybe from 10 to 50% of the population is ADD. That's when they lose concentration. And, you know, think about the world that we live in. There's construction, there's hammering, there's honking horns, there's cell phones, there's trash trucks, there's children crying, there's TV, the internet, there's noise, there's people, there's traffic, everybody's in a hurry, there's a rush, there's shopping, there's this, there's that. And what happens is, because we live in the world kind of consumes us and dulls our inner hearing. And we become ADD, attention deficit disorder, toward God and toward His voice. And I can tell you this, the still small voice is there, but most people just aren't hearing, they're not listening. And I want to try to help you to attune your ear, your inner ear, to the wonderful sound of God's voice. Came upon some prose one time, way back early in my ministry, that I really love. It's called "Slow Me Down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace. Give me amid the confusion of the day the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of surging streams. Teach me the art of taking a minute vacation." I love that prose, and the reason why I love it is because oftentimes I get busy and active and I'm doing all these different things and I forget that God is there. And I need to take a minute vacation. You know, one of the things that I love to do is to go to gardens. For example, I was visiting my friends in Portland, Oregon, and they, you know, Portland is the city of roses. And they have this beautiful rose garden there right downtown, and I love going there and the fragrance of a rose and the texture of a rose. It feels like velvet. It slows me down, and it gets me in touch with what is. I get to the center, and I can begin to listen to the still small voice as I'm journeying throughout my day. You know, some people say that roses have thorns. I say that thorns have roses. Think about that. Some of you that are going through some sufferings and some hard times, the thorns of life, look for the roses in your life. I'll talk more about that in my next program. So it's a matter of being slowed down a little bit so that we can be attentive toward God, because God is always present to us. I have to tell you that God is attentive to you. God does not have the disorder of ADD. He is very attentive and very focused and very concentrated. And you know what? He's concentrated on you. Ever since, even before you were born, but ever since you were born, God had you in mind. In fact, Psalm 139 says, it was Psalm 139, if you ever want to look up a beautiful psalm. God was the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. You didn't just happen or by chance you came to be. God had you in mind. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And get this, God knows when you sit and when you stand. You may think it's an insignificant event, you don't even think about it, but God's aware of you. Even before a word is on your lips, the Bible says, Psalm 139, God knows what it's going to be. I always tell people, you don't know what your next word is going to be. God does. It's amazing, God's intimacy and intricacy and closeness to us. It's fascinating when you really think about it. See, God is attentive to us. The Bible says that every hair on our head is counted. Jesus wasn't just saying that. He meant it. And I jokingly say that God has to work harder with some people than he does with others, because he's aware of us and he watches over us. And he's not, He doesn't have ADD. His attention toward us isn't flawed. He doesn't get distracted like oftentimes we do. A friend of mine have a daughter. Her name is Julie, and she just joined a religious community. And in this religious community, they're called the Sisters of Life. They're in the Bronx, New York. Many of you are watching me from New York. And they pray, get this, they pray 5 hours a day. Now, I'm a religious. I'm a Catholic priest. I'm a passionist. You can see by my habit. And I pray a lot, but I don't pray 5 hours a day. That's amazing. Now, they're not always talking when they pray. They're listening. That's called contemplative prayer, centering prayer. And I wrote a book called Thy Kingdom Come. It was the third book I ever wrote. And it's all about prayer and about speaking, but also about listening. I want to help your prayer life. I want you to live with passion. I want you to have passion for God. And just because you don't live in a monastery or you're not a priest, some of you are, doesn't mean that you can't pray. See, we're all called to holiness and all called to prayer. A disciple one time said, he was talking to his master, he said, "What can I do to attain God?" And the master laughed and he said, "What can you do to make the sun rise?" The disciple looked at him and he said, "Why do you teach us anything at all?" And the master said, "So that you'll be awake when the sun rises." And I love that word, awake, aware, centered, focused, alive. I was working out one time in a health club and I saw this, you know, they have these motivational posters. One of them just said, center. See, we want to live from our center, our heart. Remember what I said? Listen with the ears of your heart, your innermost being. I remember one time I was driving with my mom and we passed a church, and as we went by the church, mom made the sign of the cross. What was mom doing? She was centering as we were traveling. See, most of life is the journey. Most of life is traveling. We're always going somewhere. Well, prayer doesn't just happen in a room somewhere. It ought to happen in everyday life, where we could hear the voice of God and center to hear the voice of God. Oftentimes when you enter into a church, when we all enter into a church, we kneel before the Blessed Sacrament because we recognize that God is present there. Well, God is present everywhere. So it's a moment where we try to center. And then, of course, at meals, we pray. And the reason why we pray is we get centered before God to give God thanks. We remember that God has given us this food. So what I'm simply saying is, God is present. We simply need to be aware and awake and centered and listening when the sun rises, when God is there. And it's not hard to do. As I said, again, it's a matter of, in the midst of the noisiness, to contemplate in the midst of it. And you can do it. You can listen with the ears of your heart. You know, I've traveled in my formation and in my studies and in my career as a priest. I've had the opportunity to travel many places, and one of the places that I absolutely love is the city of Rome. And I've been there many times, I've studied there, and if you've heard my teaching before, if you've read my books, you know that I love Michelangelo. Michelangelo, of course, the great artist, the great sculptor. And, you know, he painted things like the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel and Creation up on the ceiling. But I want to tell you about Moses, the statue of Moses that he sculpted. If you've ever heard the story, actually, it was Pope Julius, way back in the 1500s, he commissioned Michelangelo to sculpt the statue of Moses. And Michelangelo sculpted it. It's now in the Church of St. Peter in Chains in Rome. And he sculpted this beautiful statue, and he felt it was his most lifelike statue. You know, he created the Pietà. He created David, if you've ever seen it. But he also did Moses, and as I said, it was his most lifelike statue, he thought. And, you know, you can see the veins and very beautiful face of Moses, the horns, I've seen it. The horns depicted the glory of God shining forth from Moses. Well, anyway, if you look really closely, there's a scar on his right knee. And legend has it that when Michelangelo finished the sculpture of Moses, he took a hammer and he hit the knee, and he said to Moses, "Now speak." That's how lifelike it was. I really believe that God is the master sculptor. He has created everything, you and I, all of creation. And I really believe that when he finished creation way back when, he took a hammer and hit the creation, that's how the Grand Canyon was created, and said, "Speak." And think about it. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, if you've ever seen the magnificence and the splendor and the stupendous beauty, it speaks. Now remember what I said. You must listen with the ears of your heart. And if you're any kind of a spiritual person at all, you will hear, you will see, you will taste, if you will, the splendor of God. See, God speaks in creation. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that creation, the heavens, the stars, the universe, the earth, creation speaks without even saying a word. So in other words, no voice is heard, yet it speaks. And that's what I mean. You can't just listen with your ears. You've got to go beyond. You've got to go beyond the natural to the supernatural. See, God speaks in so many ways, creation and the Bible and your conscience and people and animals and music and poetry and artwork and, you know, TV shows and preaching and sacraments. And see, that's the God that we serve. He's incarnational. He works through these things to touch his people. And it's very beautiful. I remember I used to live in California, lived in Sacramento, and every once in a while, I'd go to Northern California, where these programs are also airing, up in Redding, Chico, that area. And there's a huge mountain there called Mount Shasta. And many people would go there. It was kind of strange. They had this thing that it was a mystical mountain, that they could somehow find the meaning of the universe at this mountain. And that's what the mistake that people make. You know, they see the beauty of creation, and they see the magnificence of the stars, and they have astrology, or they think about mystical mountains and make sacred cows. And, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody's tradition or faith, but I have to tell you, the mistake that many people make is they see the beauty of creation, and they think that that's God. Well, the stars aren't God. Mountains aren't God. The ocean isn't God, but it tells us who God is. That's what the Book of Wisdom says. It gives us a corresponding idea toward the greatness of God. God is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. That means all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present. See, that's the God that we serve. And if you listen to creation, for example, I go to the ocean to visit my mom. She lives in Florida. I go to the Atlantic Ocean, and some people just see this huge body of water. When I stand at the shore of the ocean, you know what I see? I see intelligence. I see creativity. I see passion. See, that's the God that we serve. A passionate, intelligent, creative, magnificent God. And creation tells us who God is. So you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart to look. Because God really does speak to us. God is intimately and intricately involved in our lives. Look and listen and be awake and be aware. There's so much everywhere. I remember one time somebody emailed me. They said that their wife had just died. And he said, "Father, my wife loved birds. And the day after the funeral, I was standing by a windowsill, and the most beautiful red cardinal came and flew on the windowsill. And I've never seen a red cardinal in this area. And I just had this overwhelming sense that that was a sign for my wife, that that was God speaking to me." And he said, "Do you think that that was God?" And what I told him was, yes. The cardinal wasn't God, but it was a sign from God that his wife was okay. See, because God does things like that. People call that coincidences. I call that God incidences. When God comes to you through birds and through rainbows and through clouds and through people and through animals, through music, through all kinds of different ways. Remember what I said, God is intimately and intricately involved in our lives. Rainbows, for example, can be a beautiful sign of the promises of God and how God comes to us. It's very beautiful. So I want you to realize that God is multidimensional, if you will, omnipresent. St. Francis of Assisi is my favorite saint. I'm a passionist, and our saint is St. Paul of the Cross. St. Francis of Assisi, of course, was the founder of the Franciscans, a religious community in the Catholic Church. And if you know anything about the Franciscans, they're dedicated toward creation. They're dedicated toward nonviolence. They're dedicated toward proclaiming the Word of God. And Francis was a beautiful lover of nature, and he loved to listen to God. He was praying before a crucifix one time, and that's a place where God will speak. And he heard the voice of God come to him from the cross. And the voice simply said, "Francis, go repair my house that's falling into ruin." So Francis went, and first of all, he started working on the church. It was a dilapidated San Damiano's. And then he got this insight that, you know what, God was calling him not just to work on a building, but the church isn't brick and mortar, it's flesh and blood. So he went out into the piazzas, into the streets, and he preached the gospel very simply and very clearly in a way that people could understand and get a lot out of. And people came to Jesus. There were beautiful conversions. People were born again. And St. Francis was a great saint. One time he was preaching and some people weren't listening to him, and he went to a lake and he preached to the fish. He said, "Brother fish, if people won't listen to me, I know you will." Tradition, a legend said that the fish were even poking their heads up above the water. I don't know if that happened, but they were listening. See, they can listen too. All creation is charged with the glory of God. That's what Gerard Manley Hopkins once said. And so St. Francis composed this Canticle of the Creatures. And he realized how beautiful creation was. And this is the Canticle of the Creatures. He prays God for brother sun and for sister moon, for the wind, for the weather's moods, for sister water, for brother fire, sister mother and earth, and even sister death. And he prayed, "Praise and bless the Lord and give God thanks." What a man of devotional prayer. What a man of who was alive. His heart was alive. His ears were alive. His eyes could see. St. Francis was a man of passion for God. He had great desire for God. He had this longing and thirst for God. And I believe that you have that within you. And I want you to know that you don't have to go to the mountains, and you don't have to go to the ocean. You don't have to go to the deserts to find God. God is in you. The Bible says that you are the temple of the living God. Imagine that. You are the temple. And God resides in you. And he's calling you, I believe. Remember what prayer is. It's God's thirst for you intersecting with your thirst for God. God's always there, and he's thirsty for you. He's longing for you. You just have to allow your thirst to lead you in passion to God. Remember Jesus praying all night, getting up before the sun rises. So get in touch with your passion. Get in touch with your thirst. And I want you to know that you are anointed. You are anointed to pray every bit as much as the Pope, as the priests, as the sisters in the convent, as monks. You are anointed. You are every bit as loved by God. You have been created by God. God has anointed you with his Spirit, and you can have a unique personal relationship with God. We're broadcasting this show from this beautiful church, and Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And that means you. Whether you're going to church or not, you are invited to prayer. And so, you don't have to go anywhere. You just have to listen. Let it become a lifestyle, a discipline. And I believe that you will find in a very powerful way how close God is and how much he loves you. I want to leave you with a quote from St. Augustine, a doctor of the church and a bishop who had a wonderful conversion, and then he finally began to find God in his life. And he said this, "People go abroad to wonder at the heights of the mountains and the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, of the vast compass of the ocean, of the circular motions of the stars. And they pass by themselves without even wondering."
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.